So today we've got Jenny from The Harbor. She is the LGBTQ plus outreach coordinator. And then we also have some guests from the Lower Columbia Q Center. So welcome to all of you. Can you hear me and can we hear you?
Hello, hello. Hi.
Good morning. Great to have you on the show as always.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. So Jenny, you were on a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, something like that. So glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
This is my first time meeting Ben on the radio. Great to have you here, Ben.
Thank you.
And Tessa, an old friend. Good to see you, Tessa.
Good morning.
I think I'll hand things over to Jenny to kind of do a little introduction and get the Trans Day of Visibility conversation going.
All right. Hi, I'm Jenny Feldman. As Graham said, I'm with The Harbor. I'm the new LGBTQ plus outreach coordinator. We're here today is Trans Day of Visibility, and Ben is going to talk about that a little bit. And I also want to say it's Tessa's birthday.
Happy birthday, Tessa.
What a day.
Thank you.
Celebrate.
What a great day for a birthday.
Do you want to talk about TDOV, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. So TDOV started in 2010 by Rachel Crandall, and she was the head of the Transgender Michigan group. And it is a holiday to celebrate the trans community in a positive light. Unlike the Trans Day of Remembrance, where it focuses on loss and mourning, this is more of like a celebratory holiday to celebrate and honor the beautiful lives of trans and non-binary folks everywhere.
And do you want to talk a little bit about your position at the Lower Columbia Q Center, Ben?
Sure, sure. So, hi, I'm Ben. my pronouns are he and they. I am the new program coordinator at the Q Center. So I'm really happy to be here. It's quite an honor.
Do you remember the first movie you saw in the theater?
The first movie I saw in the theater?
Yeah.
That's our icebreaker question for today.
Oh my God. Oh gosh, you know, I don't know, but the first movie I ever saw was The Wizard of Oz.
All right. What about you, Tessa? Do you remember?
Well, that's the way back machine for me. Now stop it.
I don't remember, but my parents told me that they took me to see Cabaret, and I was like a baby sitting on their laps. So that's probably what's wrong with me now.
Mm, yeah.
That explains a lot.
Could be worse.
Tessa, do you want to introduce yourself and maybe talk about the history of the Lower Columbia Q Center a bit?
Thank you. And thank you, Graham and TMUN, for the program and for the conversation and with lovely company. I'm so grateful to be here with you. Tessa James Scheller, because James was my name given to me as a baby. And so I honor my whole life by having my name be Tessa, which my sister, my older sister, named me Tessa when I was 3 years old, renamed me. And so I've renamed myself Tessa James Scheller to honor my whole life. And I'm so grateful with a whole bunch of people to have continued organizations for queer people in this community by having been one of the founders for the Lower Columbia Q Center. We started that effort in 2014 in collaboration with The Harbor. And it was the Gender Alliance, the Lower Columbia Gender Alliance, that had been meeting for several years before this. And we were offered the opportunity at Harbor to have a meeting space. And we thought to ourselves out loud that we didn't want it just a space for transgender people. We wanted a space that would be open for the entire queer community, our allies, friends, and neighbors. And we spent about a year mostly meeting over at Clatsop Community College, where we were able to bring the community together about our values and our needs and resources that we were looking for. And we came up with a fairly simple mission statement about being a safe and welcoming resource center for LGBTQIA plus people, our friends, allies, neighbors, this wonderful community we know. So I'm just so grateful to be collaborating with all of you. Thank you.
So this is Graham chiming in. I did a quick look on the old internet machine And I just noticed that there was a tweet from President Biden saying that transgender rights are human rights, and he's calling on every American to join him in uplifting the worth and dignity of transgender Americans. Together we can stamp out discrimination and deliver on our nation's promise of freedom and equality for all. Hashtag Trans Day of Visibility. So that's nice to get some support from top brass.
Yeah, what a change, right?
A welcome change of pace, yeah.
Yes, and we'll talk a little bit more later about there's still so many state bills that are horrible and harmful to trans youth. I think Ben will have, or Tessa, did you look up some of that? There's a lot going on right now that comes with the visibility that isn't always greatest. The problem with so much media visibility is that the backlash is pretty great right now, especially targeting trans youth. I also wanted to talk a bit about it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and trans people are actually at much greater risk of sexual violence and sexual assault. The numbers are 47%, so almost half of transgender people have been sexually assaulted at some point in their lives. And the rates are much higher for trans people of color, so, and trans people with disabilities. So really important to remember that. The Harbor is acknowledging Sexual Assault Awareness Month all this month, April. You can reach out to us at harbornw.org. You can call us 24/7 for any kind of advocacy and support around domestic abuse, sexual assault, and stalking. We can help you in filing restraining orders, in deciding what you want or need to do regarding this. Our number is 503-325-5735. Just wanted to put that out there. Hi, Jabrielle and Ron.
Good morning.
So good to see you on here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jabrielle Jones. I'm a student at Clatsop Community College. I'm also employed at Clatsop Community College as the GED and assessment proctor. I serve as the president of our associated student government, and I'm also the president of our Genders and Sexualities Alliance Club at CCC.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Jabrielle. And we also mentioned that Ron's here. He's going to chime in with a little bit of U.S. history at the end of the show, so we can look forward to that. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
And we did have a call come in, and so I'm going to take a gamble and say that they're calling to tell us what their first movie that they saw. Oh, yeah. Okay. They were probably calling to pledge. I forgot to mention that this is our spring pledge drive, and so while normally you can call in and make a pledge or call the office number, now's the time to wait until 10 a.m. so that we can get through this show where we have live callers. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you have a story to share or a question to ask, or if you want to tell us what the first movie you saw in the theater was. But back to the program. Sorry for the brief interruption there.
Oh, that's great. We'd love to have callers ask us, like, normally, please don't just go up to trans people and ask them random questions, but we are here to answer questions you might have around how to be a good ally, how to be respectful, why pronouns are important. I didn't give my pronouns. They are they, them, or she, her, anything like that. So please give us a call. We're here for that. Ben and I have actually been collaborating. We want to talk a little bit about what we've been doing together as the Harbor and the Lower Columbia Q Center. We have some support groups ongoing and starting. We have the Kiki for youth, and you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So our Kiki youth program meets every Thursday from 4 to 5 o'clock in the evening. Right now we're meeting on Zoom, and the age group for that is about 13 to 18 years old, but on Zoom we could be a little more flexible. So it's a great space for youth to come together and talk about things that maybe they don't always feel comfortable talking about at home or at school. It's a safe place to get resources and receive support.
And then we're also starting a support group for parents and caregivers of LGBTQ+, questioning and just gender nonconforming youth of any age. So you might have even adult children that you want to figure out how to be a better support for. You might be grandparents that want to know how to advocate for your kid in school. Studies show that parent support is the number one best protective factor for LGBTQ plus young people. So that starts next Tuesday, April 6th. It's from 4 to 5:30. That'll be virtual as well for now. So there's a Zoom link. You can look either on the Harbor social media. We're on Instagram at HarborNW. You can look on the Lower Columbia Q Center's website to get information on that. We have a link that if you sign up, we'll send you the Zoom link so you can join us. It'll be every Tuesday, 4 to 5:30. We're really excited about partnering. You want to say something, Ben?
It's called the Rainbow Family Circle. So be on the lookout for that.
Thank you. Yes. And we'll be talking about, you don't have to be up to speed on any of this. We'll be talking about glossary of terms. You know, what does all this mean? How can you advocate for your child at school? How can you advocate for them in the medical and therapy fields? All kinds of opportunities for education and just for support around, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for your kid out there, and it's not easy to deal with all of this.
So I'm going to throw out the number for folks who want to call in. It's 503-325-0010. This is a live radio show, and we're looking forward to your calls. But if you do have another reason to call the station, let's wait until after 10 a.m. when the show is over. can I ask a question about some of these services that you provide?
Please.
It's really reassuring to know that your resources and your services exist. I'm curious if even when someone could benefit from those resources, do they, once they hear about it, do they come running, or is it still hard to kind of crack that nut and get people to open up and feel safe in your environment that you're creating?
Do you want to address that, Tessa?
Yeah. Having worked with the Q Center and having been in part of organized queer world since 1975, people are very reluctant to be that vulnerable, to say, I'm interested, I want to know something, because I might be saying something about my identity, myself. And I think most of us in the queer world can recall the stories when we first made contact with another queer person, another lesbian, another gay person. It was just profound for us because we were invisible, and that's the phenomena we see now. So if people are still reticent to make that contact, and we have lots of people out in this community who we've talked to but not met, who may come by the Q Center, wave in the window. We know you're all out there, and I hope people will, as the pandemic resides, I hope people will come right on in. It's a wonderful place to gather, but it's not easy.
I can imagine that being a parent or an ally, you know, just knowing that the resources are there is just step one, but connecting people and helping them have that confidence.
Yes. We've had a number of people that will drop in one time, families, individuals, one time, just for the reassurance you're talking about, Graham, where they say, wow, this is so cool. There's a community here. Okay, I'll see you at Pride.
That's great.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the importance, too, of outreach in schools. It's so hard right now with everything being virtual to get young people to participate in one more Zoom call. So that's something that Ben and I are seeing when we're outreaching with youth, that a lot of them are just burnt out on being on video all day long. They don't want to get on one more call at the end of the day. But as I'm the facilitator at the Astoria Middle School GSA, that's the Gender and Sexualities Alliance Club. When we were in person, we were getting like 20 youth showing up for the after school clubs. So being able to be in person is huge, and GSAs are such a needed, another great protective factor that has been proven over time to make schools safer in general for all students and to decrease bullying. And on that note, I am always available to consult with youth. Students can start, they have the legal right to start a GSA at their school as long as any kind of extracurricular clubs are allowed. So please, if you're a young person listening or the parent of a young person who's like, that would be so great for my kid, you can reach out to me at jenny@harbornw.org. And I would love to walk you through how to get a GSA started at your school. It is a student-led organization. They're great. They can educate teachers on how to be supportive. So please, please, please reach out to me. I love GSAs.
And we love those parents, those mama bears and papa bears that are there for their children. They're there for their kids. They're going to be supportive. They're going to make a better life for their kids, which every parent wants to do. Thank you to those parents.
Yeah, and the folks in the schools that help coordinate those clubs and get them rolling and keep them going.
Our faculty allies, yes.
Yeah, and we are also working on, the Harbor has a project that we're working on this year with LGBTQ plus youth. We have a zine we're starting to work on. Cool. So for young people that are interested in that, we're going to be pulling in all kinds of artwork, talking about healthy relationships. That's a big thing we do at the Harbor. You know, there's so much talk about red flags and warning signs of abuse, but we're talking about, like, how do you have a healthy relationship? How do you get your needs met? How do you avoid being an abusive person? And how do you communicate in a healthy way to your partner? What do you want in a partner? So this is something, like, so many of the youth are telling us, we don't get to see healthy queer relationships in the media. There is always a suicide. There's always a big breakup. There was a big Hallmark style Christmas movie with lesbians that had a horrible toxic relationship and it was portrayed as romantic. And the youth know this. They loved the movie and are telling us, like, that was terrible. They're so abusive to each other. So our challenge to them is, oh, let's create our own media then. Let's show what it's really like. You know, show us some healthy relationships. Show us some loving partnerships. So they can create comics, artwork, poetry, and we're going to put a zine together at the Harbor that then we'll be able to distribute to youth. So they'll see themselves represented in this media that they've created.
That is great.
That's fabulous, Jenny. I just, sorry to interject, as a working actress who is a transgender woman of color, I'm very, very careful about projects that I select. I've gotten a plethora of scripts that is for a transgender character, but I'm very cautious and very aware that we're being a very, very much disenfranchised and underrepresented in healthy relationships. And I'm like, I'm not even, my marriage isn't even like this in real life. I would never want to play a character like this. It's been done, I'm over it. I don't want to, I would never, like I said, we just have to be cautious and aware, and questions don't hurt, ignorance does. And the more that we chip away at that rock of stigma and create more of a known identity in unison, the better our world can get to a place where we can all mutually understand, even though we may come from a melting pot of different cultures and ideas.
Well, hey, if you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on KMUN, and we are celebrating the Trans Day of Visibility today, and we are chipping away at the rock of stigma. We've got guests from the Lower Columbia Q Center and from the Harbor. We've got Ron Craig with some U.S. history later on. So thanks for tuning in. If you've got a question you'd like to ask or a story you'd like to share, you can call 503-325-0010.
Gabrielle, I love that you brought up the acting and the film work you do, because the young people, they've been saying they want to write a script and make their own movie. So I'm thinking that's a collaboration we could work on. Like, let's make our own movie. We could film something here and, you know, you can do it on an iPhone and come up with a pretty good looking movie. I would love to collaborate with you on something like that with our youth.
Yeah. And if
the local horror film that, I'm the leading lady, and I survive. So a transgender female of color survives in the horror film. So and I come out to be the heroine. So like I said, I'm just very cautious, very aware that we need better representation. You know, our lives, not all of us live lives of despair and gloom and doom. And if I can bring some sense of, you know, fun and sense of joy have at least like a nice eclectic blend, an array in my work. It's never about the money. I mean, if you go to Hollywood and you have it in your mindset that I'm going to win an Oscar in a year, then you might as well pack your bags and go home, because it's not about that. It's not about making money. It's about just doing what you love and having the stamina in order to do so.
I love it. And that's a great thing about Trans Day of Visibility, like being able to represent trans joy is so important. And unfortunately, we will talk a little bit about some of the bills that are going through at different states right now that are incredibly harmful to trans people, especially trans youth. But it is so good to see the joy. It's so important to show young people that. I've had young people say to me, I've never met a queer person as old as you before, which blows my mind. And like, that's great. Like, they'll say like, oh, I've never heard someone that uses they, them pronouns that's, you know, in their 40s. Everyone I know is in their 20s. And it is so important for them to see us and see like us in healthy relationships and living happy lives and experiencing joy.
Absolutely. I think that's very that's a very interesting point that you brought up, because so many folks have this idea that that there isn't a generational gap within our own factions. You know, it's when you say the they, them, and theirs. It took me a little bit to recognize and really understand it and start using it as my regular vernacular. But so it is interesting that you say that there's youth that say that, oh, I've never met somebody you know, as old as you. I'm like, well, I wasn't aware that I was as old until you pointed it out, but thank you. It is interesting that we are learning within our generation gap within the LGBTQ plus community just as much as mainstream is learning. So I think it would be a beautiful way for folks to collaborate.
Well, hey, we've got someone who has phoned in. Are you still on the line? Good morning.
Hello. Hi. My name is Theo. I know Tessa. She told me about this, so thanks. I just want to say I really appreciate having something like this as a trans person in this area, because sometimes it feels like it seems very progressive and stuff, but also like there still are like as many queer people as there are, obviously, in larger areas. I just want to say, for cis people, like my feelings about Transgender Day of Visibility are just that I would like, for cis people to stop talking so much and saying like, oh, we support you. Oh, you're so brave. Oh, this and that, because I know that you just want to be helpful, but sometimes I would rather have cis people just kind of shut up and listen. Because there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now that's really scary and it's really upsetting. Like, there was a professor who just won a case in court after getting in trouble for misgendering a transgender student, that it was his religious freedoms. And I was looking at this on social media and seeing all these people who are like, well, you know, if we let, like, universities get in trouble for... Or like, if we let people get in trouble for misgendering students, like what are doors are we opening up? Or like, well, good for him, yada yada yada. And like, bills being passed about specifically trans women in sports. And I feel like there are a lot of cis people who will be supportive to individual trans people in their lives and be like, oh wow, you're so brave, but don't know or pay attention to the like horrible things that are going on. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for calling in, Theo.
Thanks for saying all of that, Theo. I totally agree with you. I'm the parent of 3 grown children, 2 of whom are trans. And I saw that in our own family, like even the people that were supportive of my kids to their faces weren't speaking out publicly about some of the laws and issues going on. And it's so, so important. And we'll touch on that a little later about what allies can do, but it's so important for people who aren't, you know, targeted by these laws to be the ones speaking out, that so that it's not always on the vulnerable populations to have to advocate for themselves. And Ben and I wanted to go over some of these terms. Theo was using the word cis a lot, and I know a lot of people don't know what that means. So we thought we'd go over some basic terminology about gender.
So I'll start off by defining what cisgender means. And it's a gender description for when somebody's sex assigned at birth and gender identity correspond in the expected way. Basically, someone who is assigned male at birth and identifies as a man. So a simple way to think about it is if a person is not transgender, they are cisgender.
And it's not a slur. Sometimes right. People try to claim it is. It's just a description. What about, do you want to go over the different sort of the trans umbrella, Ben, and maybe the difference between sex assigned at birth and gender?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll just talk, I guess, about what gender is. So one of my favorite things to look at when describing this is the gender unicorn, because it talks about gender identity, gender expression, sex assigned at birth, physical attraction, emotional attraction. So it's a little more broad. So basically, like what gender identity is how somebody perceives their own gender. So it's in their mind, it's, you know, how they view themselves. Then there's gender expression. Well, let me go back. So gender identity, there's female, woman, and girl, male, man, and boy, and then other genders. Then gender expression is basically how we present. And this isn't, it's important to remember that it's not just trans people who have gender, right? This, everybody has gender, we're all, yeah. So gender expression is how you present, feminine, masculine, or otherwise. Then we have sex assigned at birth. So we have female, male, other/intersex. Then there's physical attraction. You could be attracted to women, men, and other genders, and it's a huge spectrum. And then emotional attraction goes along the same way. Jenny, are there other ones that you want to touch on too?
Oh boy. Oh, I just want to say sex assigned at birth, it's really important to remember that doctors are just looking at genitals, basically. They're not doing a test of anyone's chromosomes. They can't see what's inside of you. And so that is really kind of an arbitrary thing. And all cultures have their own concept of gender and gender roles. And I think once you start talking about this, it gets kind of fun, because a lot of times I've done talks for parents where I've said, like, okay, when did you realize that you were cisgender? Like, and I've had dads say, like, oh my God, you just blew my mind. Like, I never thought about it. Maybe I do want to wear a dress. Maybe, you know, I never thought about this role that was just assigned to me. So it's just kind of fun to me to question that and to think about, like, what age were you when you realized, you know, you were a boy or a girl, or you realized that didn't feel right for you, if that's true. I think those of us who question our gender, we're used to thinking that way, because we probably did at a young age think, like, I don't want to wear the frilly dress, or in my case it was, I don't understand girl culture, like, I don't know how to break into talking to this group of girls, and it just, or boys for that matter, it all felt foreign to me as an awkward person. But we all have our own unique experience of gender, and if it aligned with, like, closely with what you were assigned at birth, the sex you were assigned at birth, then you probably didn't question it. But it's fun to question, it's fun to think about that kind of thing. I want to talk about pronouns a little too, because that's a question I get a lot, and feel free to chime in, Ben. I have a lot of, like, teachers reach out to me that want to be supportive about pronouns and really don't understand the importance of them. So I just, my advice to anybody that wants to be supportive and is struggling to, especially with they, them pronouns, or even if, like, say your child was assigned female at birth and now they're using he, him pronouns and you're so struggling to do it right, just practice in your head, practice out loud. They, them pronouns are awkward at first, but the more you use them, the more you start to, it just, it normalizes it. So, you know, if you say to yourself, oh, I wonder what they're doing today, I sure do love them. Just that kind of practice and catching yourself. If you do it wrong, you know, you don't make a big deal, but you just practice. And the importance of pronouns, if you are a cis person, it's so great if you'll introduce yourself with your pronouns. It's super helpful because something a lot of us witness, LGBTQ people witness, is that only people who appear gender ambiguous get asked their pronouns, which is very othering. People don't tend to ask me my pronouns. And then they'll ask like someone who appears to be, you know, gender nonconforming their pronouns in front of me. And I'm like, no, ask me. And it does feel, you know, you're like outing someone really if you just ask the one person in the group their pronouns. So it's really helpful if you're, say, at a meeting, introduce yourself with your pronouns. If you're a cis person, please, it's super helpful.
I liked hearing the term othering in that bit there, Jenny. I think that's a really important one to point out and speak to, that's what we're trying to avoid, right? That's a big one. And all of this work is to be inclusive. I took a quick second to look up what the prefix cis refers to, spelled C-I-S for cisgender, and cis means on the same side. And so if you were to think of a transgender person having gone to the other side of gender, the cis person would have remained on the same side as they're assigned at birth. So like you said, it's not a slur, it's not derogatory, it's just etymology, folks.
And you might hear it used. I think the reason people think it's a slur, it's kind of like if a woman says like, oh, men, I can't stand them. Mm-hmm. Like you might hear trans people expressing their frustration and saying like, oh, here we go with the cis again. But that doesn't make it a slur. It's just people expressing their frustration. You know, marginalized people, it's okay to express your frustration with the dominant group. It happens all the time. Don't take it personally if you're cis and you hear trans people complain about cis people.
Yeah, no fragility allowed.
Right. We know you're one of the good ones. It's okay.
Well, hey, it's about halfway through the hour, and we're talking with friends from the Lower Columbia Q Center and the Harbor. And in about 20 minutes, we'll port things over to U.S. History Time on the conversation. But if you do have a comment or a question, you can call 503-325-0010. And if you're calling the station on any other business, just hang on until 10 o'clock. Thank you so much.
Tessa, did you want to talk about some of the anti-trans bills that are going through all the states right now?
Yes, I do. I do want to address that. And since this is Transgender Day of Visibility, isn't it funny you can't see me? Just imagine a beautiful person. And
we can hear your beauty just fine, Tessa.
And I'm so tall and loud and boisterous. It's like, how do you miss me?
And I also want to champion the term non-binary. It's an awkward term, like so many of these. The word transgender wasn't even invented until 1964. I was born well before the word transgender. Hmm. So there've always been transgender people. The terms were different. Cultures saw us differently, but we've always been around. The phenomena is, especially someone who is 70, I grew up in a world where gay people did not visibly exist. It was too dangerous to be gay or trans or anything different. You didn't show up in a wheelchair either. You didn't show up if you were Black in my neighborhood, right? I mean, everybody, the segregation was the rule. So this is a new phenomenon, and I think our culture is coming to terms with the reality of trans people of color, of all kinds of wonderful diversity. And with all the problems we face as a community, isn't it funny that we've got about 83 different state bills that are addressing transgender people playing sports or going to the bathroom? I sort of take going to the bathroom for granted. And I was never good at sports, so I don't care about it much. But the truth is, everybody should be able to play, right? Isn't that about equality? Isn't that about the culture that we would prefer, that everyone gets invited to play? It's a big tent. But right now, we've got 83 different anti-transgender bills, state legislature. It's the highest number of transgender bills ever introduced. It's crazy to me that some people think that that's what we need to be doing in our state legislatures.
It's notable these bills are not because constituents requested them. It's because we've got a group of folks out there, rather conservative folks, that Human Rights Campaign has been tracking for a number of years. And it's just a surge in legislation that just seems unnecessary, hurtful, and hateful. 83 different transgender bills. There's five different states that are working their way toward keeping trans kids out of sports or making sure they can check your genitals before you play. This is just an unnecessary, hurtful, and harmful effort. They're not addressing any real problem. And right now there's 55 different major U.S. corporations that are standing up and saying, wait, we don't need this. We're doing fine. Coca-Cola, Platinum, we're fine. Don't worry about us. We like our diverse workforce. Stop trying to separate us. 550 different college athletes have stood up to anti-transgender legislation by demanding NCAA pull the championships competitions from states that are anti-trans sports legislation. So the nation's leading child health and welfare groups, representing more than 7 million youth-serving professionals and more than 1,000 child welfare organizations, have released an open letter calling for lawmakers in states across the country to oppose dozens of bills that simply target LGBTQ people and transgender children in particular. I am so grateful for the moms and pops and dads and everybody that's out there supporting their children, because children are leading the way. I'm so grateful for those young people that stand up and tell the truth, because that's what's going on. No one ever chose to be transgender or cisgender. What we choose to be is visible. And the visible part of us, well, we get some blowback. And this legislation is unnecessary I prefer to see something like the Equality Act. Wouldn't it be nice if we even had an Equal Rights Amendment? Thank you.
Well said, Tessa.
I think it's important to note too, so much of the information that's being put out there by anti-trans activists is false. As a parent of trans youth, what they say is going on is not going on. They're saying that, you know, young trans people are having surgery and being given hormones, and that's not true. The one intervention is puberty blocking drugs. They block their hormones. So say you have an 11-year-old who is about to go through puberty and is transgender, it does not want to go through, you know, that particular puberty. All it does is delay puberty. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't change them in any way. They're not doing surgeries on children. These are life-saving measures, and it will harm trans youth. It will kill trans youth to be kept from these life-saving medical interventions. Arkansas has outlawed any kind of medical support for trans people under 18.
Well, hey, we've got a caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Did you have a comment or question for these folks?
Well, I have a comment. I think this is a very good program. It's one that touches me. Not so much because of transgender issues, but just sexual issues, gay people. I've had so many friends who have made themselves disappear because they were struggling with the reality of their gayness. And I was in a business where I dealt with a lot of interesting people, and so many of them died from AIDS. And so anyhow, I thought I shouldn't call in. But I just felt compelled to say something from the experiences I've had, and thank the guests, and thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
You too.
And we've got another caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. I had noticed on the GLAAD website that the LCQC had posted a beginner's guide to being an ally to trans people. And the headline says, asking trans people in your life how you can best support them should always be a first step. So I'd like to ask the people on the show, what do you think generally are some of the ways that cis people can support the trans people in the community?
Great question.
I'd like to jump on that. Thank you, DJ, for your call. I recognize your voice anywhere.
Absolutely.
So yeah, asking trans people in your life how you can best support them is a great first step. So for me personally, I just ask that people trust that I know myself best. And I ask that you all to trust that every single person knows themselves best. And, you know, it's our life and it's your life. So honor it.
Well, sorry, I had your fader down there. What was your comment there?
I said thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for the call.
Tessa, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, yes, I do. And I think for all of us, we're wonderful, complex, dynamic individuals with a very broad and wonderful life. We're not just transgender. We're not just gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans. We're much more than a single initial can account for. We don't wear a big T or a big L on our forehead, and we'd like to be treated with the same respect that anyone else is treated with. That's not maybe the biggest thing in my life. We have families, we have jobs, we have career, you know, we have things that are important to us, and that's where we come together. And I'm so proud of this community for making that really very possible for me and so many other people that may have seemed to be first on the scene, but of course, again, we've always been here, but now we're more visible. And I'm so grateful for this community, for the organizations that have reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we could benefit from some transgender training about terms and things like that. The county has done that. The county court system has done that. The state department has done that with us here. That's something that the Q Center has done is a speaker series where we can help educate people in a formal setting like that. And we have all kinds of support groups to offer people as well. I'm so grateful for the community and thanks again for this opportunity.
Thanks for being visible on the radio today. Well, this has been a great conversation. I think we'll keep going for another few minutes, but kind of come to a close and then we'll move over to Ron. But is there anything that you wanted to do to kind of wrap it up? And while you're thinking of the answer to that, let's just hear from Carol real quick. Good morning, Carol.
Hi. So, God, turn off the radio. Yes. So, first of all, I want to wish Tessa a very happy birthday. And I want to wish all who are wish to have it a happy Trans Day. And my question is almost just logistical. Jenny talked a lot about the harbor and gave the harbor phone number. I'm wondering if we have questions or we want to give support to the community. Should we address the Lower Columbia Q Center or the harbor? Or how does, you know, what's the intersectionality of that? It's the first time I've used that word. Thank you so much for being here, Graham. Thanks for hosting. Mm-hmm. It's great to hear you. And again, happy birthday, Tessa!
Thank you, Carol. And Carol is one of those wonderful allies that we attempted many years ago, and we started a sort of a P flag here with Drew Herzig and a few other notable folks. So we've had great allies like Carol all along. And the truth is we are here for support. The Q Center's phone number, and it's a phone system. You'll be able to get a hold of one of us on the 9 different digits, but it's 503-468-5155. We're ready for you. www.lowercolumbiaqcenter.com is our website.
For the GSA club at Clatsop Community College, for now,
You can email me at jjones@clatsopcc.edu for any questions or concerns, or just wanting some more awareness and some sensitivity training and whatnot. We have wonderful, fabulous free workshops that are put on by our lovely leadership team at GSA at CCC. We do have a Facebook page. You can look us up at GSA at CCC on Facebook. And our website, Center of Equality, will launch in the spring term, which starts on April 5th.
Great.
I wanted to hop back on and share a little bit more about the Q Center and how you can get in our space. We do offer open hours Monday and Wednesday from 3 to 5 o'clock, and Friday from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. The open hours on Friday, we do a hybrid on Zoom, so you could always hop on and say hello. We also offer a variety of groups. So today we actually have Queer Edge Sobriety happening at 6 o'clock on Zoom. And you can hop on our website or on our Facebook page to get the link to that. Tomorrow we have our Kiki Youth Group online. And then every third Saturday we have Late Bloomers, which you can find all of this information on our website and on our Facebook page. Do know that there are two Facebook pages that you could be joining in on. There is the Lower Columbia Q Center /Astoria Pride group, the official page, and then there is the LCQC social group, which I definitely recommend hopping on because it's a happening place.
So would a person like myself feel welcome on that Facebook group as well, or?
Absolutely. Awesome. Everybody is welcome.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
There is no panty check.
Hey, yo. Not on your birthday. Yeah, Jenny, shall we bring things to a close here? We've heard about the Q Center a little bit more, but do you want to remind folks about how to contact the Harbor and what the intersectionality is? Because you are the intersectionality, as far as I understand, right?
We have so many plans to partner. Ben and I are working together to bring you support groups. I want to remind everyone of the parent support group. Talking about being an ally, for parents of LGBTQ plus children, my best advice for you is to celebrate your child. Don't just tolerate, don't just accept, embrace, celebrate. Trans people are wonderful. Support them the best you can, and they will be happy and thriving adults. So remember, we're having this support group. It starts Tuesday. It's from 4 to 5:30. All parents and caregivers are welcome. It is not open to youth. It's for parents and caregivers only, just so if we're talking about sensitive things, we don't want to hurt your kids' feelings. If, you know, there's a parent who's really struggling or something, this is a space for adults. But we do have our Kiki for youth, so that's every Thursday as well. I'm just so glad to be here. I so appreciate, Graham, you giving us this space. Anyone else have any last words for allies? Ben?
Yeah, well, I do want to remind everybody the name of that parent group is the Rainbow Family Circle. So when you're looking for it, that's what it's called.
I keep forgetting to say that. I'm sorry, Ben.
It is all good. But I know we were just talking about like words for allies, but I do want to just kind of give a little shout out to all of our trans and non-binary family. Remember to be loud, be proud, show up and have fun. Your existence is valid. I will say that again for those in the back. Your existence is valid. So love yourself more.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You are valuable and you are worthy because it's your birthright.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding vehemently on the radio. My head is going up and down. Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the radio. You're welcome back anytime. And please just keep up the good work and keep us posted with your, with all of your amazing efforts in the community.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was Jabrielle, Benedetto, Jenny, and Tessa appearing on the conversation in celebration of Trans Day of Visibility. We've got 10 minutes left in the show, and we're going to welcome our guest, Ron Craig. I invite you to unmute yourself on Zoom, and let's get into a little bit of U.S. history, shall we?
Yeah, rumor has it. There is some history out there.
I've heard of such a rumor, yes.
Well, what it comes down to is like, number one is Team Q cool. I enjoy your perspective. And once again, history, education, getting people on board is part of the DNA. It's what I attempt to do with the history perspective. One little short thing, I always kind of preface a lot of this with the idea that I'm a baby boomer, and it puts things into a perspective as far as time frame. And then I put the next deal is I'm not only a baby boomer, I'm a black baby boomer. So what does that mean? Well, look at the history. So I'll have people go with that. The other side of the coin is also the fact early on, as far as acceptance of people from a historical perspective across the board, it was beyond the fact of being just an African-American, because as a youngster, young kid, maybe a teenager, trying to assimilate, see who I wanted to or what culture I wanted to assimilate myself with. And it came across a line, you know, as a kid, you get your dictionary out and you start looking at different aspects of it. So I decided at a young age, I was going to be a bohemian. And looking at it from a perspective, you know, the art thing was always there, but the other little flashpoints just really put me there because I enjoyed that. And anybody that asks, you know, said, what culture do you associate yourself with? I said, well, I'm a black bohemian. And if there's any questions beyond that, I send them to whatever to be able to do that. But one of the things that we're working on right now from a historical perspective, we're working on a play. And it's about Buford Delaney, who's an African-American. He was like in the 30s and so of that nature, stuff as a painter. And he was a cohort or kind of a partner to James Baldwin. And the two individuals, like I said, back in the day, they were gay guys, black gay guys. So within a social, you know, parameter, as far as African-Americans, I won't even get into the history of that, the aspects of that, but these guys became expats. And as far as Baldwin, all of a sudden he's on the radar now with everybody. But I think it was in 1948, he said, I'm out of here. And he went to Paris as an expat. And then his friend Buford Delaney, which he had met in New York earlier and stuff, he convinced him also to come to Europe. And the idea of them surviving with their sort of sexual assignment, for lack of a better description, it was just incredible because they were, you know, like right now, Buford Delaney is, once again, people are looking at his artwork. We started working on this play in 2003, and I couldn't get an exhibit for his work, Buford Delaney, a painter, because nobody knew who he was. But all of a sudden, it's a whole different perspective right now. And so what we're doing is called Knoxville to Paris, the Buford Delaney story. And I really encourage people to look at that, you know, as far as who this person was from a historical perspective. And the gentleman who had written both the books, two books on it, and it's Amazing Grace, A Life of Buford Delaney, and David Leeming was the author on that one. And then also it's a biography that Leeming had also written called James Baldwin, a biography. And David Leeming was kind of a care provider for Baldwin his later years and stuff. So it's really an incredible read. The fact of being able to put this out as a play, like I said, we're working on right now to be able to get it out there and stuff. It's going to be so insightful as far as these individuals, as far as, you know, looking at it from an LGBT, you know, perspective, that I, as a young man, my late wife and I, we worked in the theaters as far as back in Portland. And it was to the point that, you know, we were around people that were very broad scope as far as culturally. And as far as how things have progressed, you know, so we say the 21st century, I am just so delighted to be able to see that all of a sudden, you know, people are, they're looking at it, because the idea that, you know, we both carry some of the same DNA. And one of the old cliches I really enjoyed back in the day, pardon my humor, is that, you know, back in the day, people say, well, I understand black people because some of my best friends are black people, or this, that. Well, then that's so flawed. And it's the same thing with people as far as within the gay community, like back in the day and stuff. I mean, we were all out there just having a great time. The fact that I was Black, or they were gay, or and they were, you know, however you want to look at it and stuff, to be able to do this. This is a global community. And to be able to accept people, you know, it was never, you know, being raised as kind of a conservative family, that didn't matter for me, because I wanted to embrace everyone. And with this story, historically speaking, of Buford Delaney and James Baldwin, I think it's going to be so insightful.
Well, that's really cool. When the play is finished, what do you expect is going to happen with it? Like, where's it going to go, and how are we going to see it?
Well, I think primarily what's going to happen is the fact it's going to, once again, open a door. And I think, once again, the fact of, you know, these guys being, you know, the gay community back in the day and stuff, all of a sudden, I had no idea. And everybody sitting here, they've heard that before, you know. And I think to me, and I, pardon me, I, you know, I laugh every once in a while and stuff. It's not a nervous laugh. It's almost like a really comical, because, like, you know, for me, there are situations that I'm sure other people can relate to that I've had to walk away from. And I know that people are going to look at this film, this play, and say, this is really incredible, because these two guys were, you know, cultural icons. And the fact that all of a sudden, you know, well, I can't, he was what? You know? And I just think it's going to open the door once again. And like I said, as I stated early on, it's a breadcrumb, historically speaking, to people to look at this, and the fact that Buford Delaney did have some mental issues, but it didn't necessarily have to deal with some aspects of his life coming up. Because when you read the book, as far as biography and stuff, it's very insightful as far as who he was and what he had to deal with. And I just think people are going to look at him as this incredible person and be able to relate to him to some degree as what he contributed and what he had to do as far as mentally and emotionally, and the support that James Baldwin and also David Leeming, these guys were right there for him. And like I said, he had issues and stuff, but that's not a distractor. For me, it's just another, you know, should I say, a portion of his, you know, artistic persona as an individual putting the art out there. Because, like, he was an incredible artist, and he did a number of drawings, paintings of Baldwin. So very supportive.
That's very cool, Ron. So, there's some breadcrumbs for you to go and learn a little bit more about an artist who you may not know much about, or these lives that were lived differently because it was a different time. And I also wanted to mention that I also identify Bohemian, Ron, so let me know when the next party is.
Absolutely. Like I said, once again, one of those things, like I said, back in the day, okay, just Google it and see what it is. Oh, that looks like you, Ron. Yeah, right. So, but it fits, definitely. You know, it's broad scope.
I like it. Cool. Well, we are getting to the end of the hour. Is there any other little tidbits of U.S. history you want to share, or did that kind of wrap the portion for today?
No. It's one other thing. I got a call yesterday from a gentleman in Charlottesville, Virginia. And when I was there back in 2003 with the opening of the commemoration of the bicentennial, there's a gentleman who called me, and he has a little mall, Black gentleman, a little, you know, business there, and he named his little area there the York Mall. And after York, he called me, he wanted to know this information. So he passed away a number of years ago. His son called me, and so they're going to put a image or a little thing there. So he asked me to contribute to that. And all I'm saying is, here's York, and all of a sudden now his name is on this building. That people, they have apartments and all this other stuff in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I just look at that as being a great, you know, tagline as far as being able to look at our history, because people walk in the mall to be able to get whatever it is and stuff, you know. So that it keeps going. It's a treasure hunt every day for me. I love it.
That's great. Well, it's been a pleasure to have all of you on the radio today. I can't thank you enough for sharing your stories and your work with our crew here, the K-Moonies crowd. It's our spring pledge drive. The show's over now, so you can call 503-325-0010 if you'd like to make a donation to this fine radio station. And, of course, you can support the organizations that you've heard from today as well. Do you want to give out your websites one more time real quick? We've just got a few seconds.
At the lowercolumbiaqcenter.org.
And harbornw.org.
So thanks again to my guests. Thank you for listening.